Eurasia, A Special Worldview. Author, Alexander Dugin. Translator, Jay Farnold. On Dugin's guideline. Eurasia is not only a geographical concept, it is also a whole theory, system, and special worldview. Its essence lies in the following. For centuries, the West has striven to impose its norms and criteria upon all of mankind. This is its civilizational policy. And this has not changed over the centuries, regardless of what stands at the forefront of the West's ideology, be it Catholicism, Protestantism, modernism, liberalism, or capitalism. With equal fervor, the West builds its empire at the expense of all other peoples. On the world map, this is reflected in expansion from Europe to Asia and, most importantly, Eurasia, that is, the territory of the Russian Empire situated in the key zone of the absolute center. To the west of us is Europe. To the east, Asia. We ourselves are something third. The West believes that only its path of development, only its logic, and only its values are universal and common to all of mankind, and that all other peoples have simply not yet understood this. This means that the West, albeit temporarily, until they understand this, can and is even obliged to rule others. With such a blatant agenda, the West has in practice managed to colonize the East. This is no easy feat, but it managed to. But the West faltered in the face of Russia, Eurasia. We, Russians, opposed the West with something that stopped it in its tracks. It repeatedly tried to take us by force and ruse, but we held on. The East fell, but we didn't. And we are holding out to this day. This is Eurasia as an idea. Eurasia means not succumbing to the West's claims to universality, rejecting its hegemony, and insisting that no one has a monopoly on truth, especially not the West. Eurasia is the possibility for peoples and civilizations to follow their own path and, if the logic of the path demands such, not only a non-Western one, but even an anti-Western path. This is Eurasia. This idea was understood by the first Eurasianists, Trubetskoy, Savitsky, and Alexeyev in the 1920s. We too understand it. And Vladimir Putin understands it, since there is no other meaning of Eurasia. If we understand what is at stake, then all the rest becomes crystal clear. If we are Eurasia, then it therefore follows that. First, we must strengthen and defend our identity, our culture, faith, ethics, philosophy, our own Russian logos. Eurasia means reliance on our own strength and allying with all those who share our attitude and reject the hegemony of the West. Secondly, we must construct a foreign policy that allows us to be completely independent from the West in the spheres of defense, politics, culture, economy, and technology. Eurasia is the principle of self-sufficiency of a large space. Thirdly, we must integrate the space adjacent to contemporary Russia into a single confederation or union in order to together create the potential sufficient for being a fully-fledged pole in a multipolar world, not a unipolar world as the West is trying to impose on us to this day. Eurasia's multipolarity. And finally, we must create a Eurasian order symmetric to what is called the world government and strives to manage global processes from the standpoint of the West's interests. Eurasia is a principally new elite thinking globally, but most often oppositely to what the West's intellectual headquarters think and, most importantly, do. This is the only way to treat talk of Eurasia at the economic forum. If not, then not at all, and this will remain but empty talk. If we really mean what we are saying, this demands a radical shift in all policy, ideology, the entire course. We do not have historical time to move cautiously step by step.